In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Dear fathers, sisters, dear people, it's a very important day for all of us. I would say, starting with those who are already priests, because we see, our number being increased, we see soldiers joining us on the front line, and the priests will all be taking part in the ceremony, of course, helping to convey the priesthood by laying on hands. We welcome all of the priests from both the District of Canada and the District of the United States, with both district superiors as well, especially welcome, and priests from other countries as well, Australia, Austria, colleagues who remind us that the Society of St. Pius X is worldwide. Each of them are welcome. And we welcome also the sisters, a representation from the Dominican Sisters in Idaho, also a number of the Society's own sisters from Brownville and St. Mary's, and also the Society's Mother General, Sister Mary Jude, Mother Mary Jude, especially welcome. It's a joyous occasion, of course, for the people. You faithful know that you see and you take part in the ordaining of more priests, and you have some confidence in the future. You can see that these are young priests, young men being ordained, and so while some of us are hugely increasing in the number of gray hairs, there will be replacements. In the official church, one of the many dramas is the aging of the priesthood, with few youngsters stepping forward to succeed them. It is, in effect, the dying out of the priesthood. If it depended upon the new religion, there would tomorrow be no priests. What a drama. Because without the priests, how can we get to heaven? Very, very difficult and very hazardous. Whereas, of course, if we understand who the priest is, and if we know how much our Lord has designed him to contribute to our salvation, if we know how our Lord has put his own continuers in the very center of the work of our salvation, every one of us must go through the priest to obtain these graces of salvation in one way or another. When you see new priests, you are reassured. And you're very wise to come to the ceremony of ordinations, and it's a delight to see so many of you here this year. We guessed there would be more, which is why we have a larger tent than usual. And whoever guessed was not wrong. The Lord God observes everything. If he sees all the evil, how much more he sees, watches out for, and notices the good. And if he sees you loving and caring for true priests, he will give them to you. On the other hand, if he sees them not being valued for what they are, for what they really are, we will lose them. Again, as they have so often in the history of the church, being effectively lost. Today is the vigil of the Feast of John the Baptist, which is why, although it's a joyous occasion for ordinations, it's the purple vestments of penance for a vigil. And I wish to say a few words about the epistle which you've just heard in Latin, which is rich in teaching for for a day of ordinations, being the text from the beginning of the prophet Jeremiah about the vocation of the prophet, chosen for the feast of John the Baptist because of a similarity between Jeremiah and John the Baptist. The text runs as follows. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed thee in the womb of thy mother, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and made thee a prophet unto the nations. And I said, Ah, 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 Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said to me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid at their presence, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have given my words in thy mouth. Lo, I have set thee this day over the nations and over kingdoms, to root up and to pull down and to waste and to destroy and to build and to plant." 4 points. Firstly, the call. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed thee in the womb of thy mother, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and made thee a prophet unto the nations." De ordinans, each of you was known by the Lord God, not only from when you were in your mother's womb, not only from when you were conceived or even thought of by your parents. Each one of us priests has been in the mind of God since eternity as a priest. It is not you who have called yourselves, says our Lord to his apostles in the Gospel of St. John. It is I who have chosen you. A vocation is very mysterious. It is God's choice. How and why does God choose those whom he chooses? Mystery of God. A vocation is a divine affair. To be sure, he or she who is called needs to say yes, needs to cooperate, needs to accept what God wants. But nevertheless, dear ordinands, and it's true for all of us, it is, as Americans say, God who calls the shots. It is God who starts a vocation. It's God who's going to direct a vocation. It's God who will, if we cooperate, bring a vocation to the conclusion that he meant. It is not we who called ourselves. It's not Jeremiah who called himself. In fact, as is clear from the text of the prophet, the great prophet, there are many times when he would wish he hadn't been called. He groans and suffers under the travails of having to say the truth to the people. He doesn't want to be the carrier of the word of God. Like Jonas, he would wish to run away. But God is God. The ordinands, let God direct. He mysteriously, it's a foolishness to say it like that, but we need to say it, he does know what he's doing. We can and must trust him. But don't expect him to lead you through beds of roses. There are going to be quite a few hedges of thorns. In fact, one might say, one after another. A vocation, there are many hedges of thorns. A good number designed by the devil, allowed by God. But these are the trials, as I think St. Peter says, that test a servant of God, better than the fire tests gold. But it says it takes fire to test gold. It will take trials to test the servant of God and to enable him by his sufferings to bear fruit. Even if he is a good priest, says our Lord again to his apostles in St. John, even if he is a vine bearing fruit, the Lord God will prune and cut in order, not because it's not bearing fruit, but in order that it bear more fruit. And so, listen to your colleagues who've been in the priesthood now 5, 10, 15, and some veterans, even longer of years, and they can tell you the various difficulties, the various sufferings, the various problems that they might well wish that they would never have chosen for themselves, let's just say. It's the Lord God who has allowed this, who has positively allowed this, because of what he knows he can out of these trials bring for his servants. Dear Ordinands, he chose you, you did not choose yourselves, and from now on, he is also going to continue choosing things that you would not choose for yourself. You may have to go to a far country and learn some strange language, which is not one of the great languages of the world. It may seem... Don't worry about what it seems. It's the will of God. The will of God, of course, comes very largely, to a considerable extent, through the will of superiors. And therefore, let us know how to obey. Our Lord gives his grace to the humble. He resists the proud. He can use instruments that obey. He has great difficulty using. He is patient, but he has great difficulty using disobedient servants. Jeremiah goes on, and I said, "Ah, ah, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." It's very possible if we had met Jeremiah in person, we might have called him a loser. Humanly judged, to meet him in real life, it's perfectly possible he had none of those qualities, those human qualities, so admired today, which mean that we call a person not a loser, which would make us not call him a loser. But I'm willing to bet, when Jeremiah says, "Ah, ah, ah, Lord, don't call me, I'm a child," I'm willing to bet that, humanly speaking, Jeremiah was not that impressive. He's aware of it himself, so to speak. There are plenty of people who would have said, "Ah, yes, Lord, you can call me. I'm going to go in there and I will smash them." And that's not the one that our Lord chooses, interestingly. Why? It's very clear. Because, as St. Paul says, it's in my weaknesses that I'm going to boast. I have, says St. Paul, seen visions that is not lawful to man to relate. I've seen into the third heaven. I was taken up to the third heaven. But he says, I'm not going to, and I've been, I have all kinds of gifts. He doesn't insist upon those. But he tells, he gives a litany of his sufferings in the second epistle to the Corinthians, concluding with, his conclusion is that, and then the thorn in the flesh, he is going to boast of his weaknesses. Because it is in his weakness that the Lord God can act. Were he so strong, were he a winner, it would be he that would be acting and not the Lord. On the contrary, when he's so weak, when there's so little he can do by himself, that's where God can act. That's why God chooses for his servants, surely a major reason why the Lord God chooses for his servants not people who at first sight, not boys or girls, who at first sight are going to push over the world or set the Potomac on fire. They are human beings, with all that that implies. And the Lord God, my dear Ordinands, will work with your failings and mine, with our weaknesses. Don't be afraid. Be afraid of sin. Fear sin like the plague. But all kinds of human weaknesses, that's child's play for the Lord God. Your priesthood is not your affair. It's God's affair. It's He who designed the priesthood. It's He who chose us for the priesthood. Let God act. He does know what He's doing. And be sure then of watching over your humility. God gives His grace to the humble. He resists the proud. He can use always a humble priest. It's simply a matter of time before the proud priest hits the brick wall of one kind or another. And when he does hit a brick wall, it will be, from the standpoint of God, a great mercy to try to bring him to realize what he's doing. But he can't serve God. And he risks his eternal salvation by pride. Heaven knows there can be temptation to pride for the priest. From a nobody, as Scripture says, he becomes one of the princes of the people. The Lord God raised us priests from the dust, in effect, and gives us a standing, which of course the world doesn't recognize, but which Catholics incense at every turn. Be careful. Be careful of that devilish pride. It is the death of a priest. And the Lord said to me, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid at their presence, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Jeremiah is weak. And when Jeremiah says, "Lord, don't send me because I'm weak, I'm just an adolescent, I'm nobody, I've got no strength, I'm not the right person," our Lord says, "Don't say that. I know what I'm doing. If you are weak, you have my strength. If I choose you, I mean to back you. And if I back you, you will push over fortresses." It's almost the language of Scripture again. You will have a strength to pull down fortresses, to pull down citadels. I think it's St. Paul. A spiritual strength, which is stronger than the greatest material defenses. Look, my dear friends, just recently, at how the Goliath of Rome has been stooping down to talk to the little David of the Society of Pius X. And it's the little David of the Society of Pius X that has, excuse the American expression again, been calling the shots. It's the Society that said no. Had the Society said yes, it would immediately have lost its strength, because it would have lost the will of God. It would have separated itself from the will of God. It's as long as the Society is the carrier of the words of God that Rome has bowed down and will bow down and must bow down, not before us poor human beings, but before the Word of God. The Word of God is stronger than Rome, stronger than these poor Romans who have lost it. All we wish is that these poor Romans regain the Word of God. And then, of course, they become again the servants of God. The Society can bracket itself out of existence. We've fulfilled our function. We're not here for ourselves. We are only here for the church. But our strength has been just like Jeremiah. This weakling, this child, as he calls himself, went in front of the elders of Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the priests, the whole authority of Jerusalem. And they likewise had to listen, whether they wanted to or not. And the king, at one point, you may remember, threw. Jeremiah wrote out his prophecies on scrolls of parchment. The king had them thrown on the fire. The Lord God simply had Jeremiah, dictated them again to Jeremiah, and more in addition. God is not mocked, and God is not stopped. What stops God is our ill will, our refusal to cooperate. That, in a sense, blocks God. Although, of course, God will always work around it. His will still be done. He is presently working around these Romans, these poor Romans who have lost, if not the faith, at least the sense of the faith. And so we see in today's relations between the Society and Rome, we see a classic case of
Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid at their presence, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Dear ordinance, you need not be afraid at the worst that our poor modern world can throw at you. You have a power to push it over. It's not going to happen tomorrow. The way in which it happens may not at all be according to your choice or my choice. But as long as we are the carriers of God's word and not our own, we are, in a certain sense, irresistible. In a real sense, irresistible. Of course, they will resist us. They may well martyr us. The word of God and the will of God will not be stopped. But if they were to martyr us, it's conceivable in today's situation. If they were to martyr us, of course, the word of Tertullian kicks in, the blood of the martyrs would be the seed of the church. And that may be one good reason why the enemies of the church are not presently resorting to martyrdom of blood, because they know the effect it has to build the church rather than destroy it. But today, it's a dry martyrdom, which is much more clever. But even the dry martyrdom is not working to stop the will of God. And the proof of that, my dear friends, is your numerous presence here today. You are, may I say, working with the will of God. God has given you light, certain lights, to see where the true priests are, where the true church is, where the true mass is. And you have been cooperating with those lights. Many of you have traveled a long way in order to be here today. Ihr Lohn wird nicht ausbleiben. You will be rewarded. God will reward you. But be prepared then, since it's not in your way or in my way that God will work his will through you and through us, be prepared to be a victim. I've just mentioned martyrdom. There are many kinds of martyrdom. I just said a few moments ago that it's God who will determine the course of our priesthood, and he will allow us to go through a number of thorn hedges. Remember the famous picture of the young priest, maybe a young priest, offering Mass, and there's a in front of a crucifix, and our Lord is leaning off the crucifix, giving to the young priest his crown of thorns, putting on the young priest's head, as he celebrates Mass, the crown of thorns. Be sure, dear ordinands, in one way or another, you will be crowned with thorns. And if after, I don't know, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you have no thorns in your brow, you've somehow avoided the will of God. The priest is not only the offerer of the sacrifice, he is also himself the sacrifice. He must be himself the victim. And being victimized is precisely to undergo some suffering that you or I don't choose, because if we underwent the suffering that we did choose, it wouldn't be nearly so much suffering. See the hand of God in the circumstances of your priesthood, dear ordinands. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have given my words in thy mouth. The priesthood is not my affair, nor your affair, my dear young friends. It belongs to God. It belongs to our Lord. And we have his words to say and not ours. Behold, I have given my words in thy mouth. Lo, I have set thee this day over the nations and over kingdoms, to root up and to pull down, and to waste and to destroy, and to build and to plant. Notice, I have set thee up this day over the nations and over kingdoms. All power in heaven and on earth, says our Lord to his apostles, has been given to me. Going, teach all nations. Elsewhere, as my Father sent me, so I send you. There's a parallel. It's not exact, but it's nevertheless a substantial parallel. If all power has been given to our Lord Jesus Christ by the Father, and if our Lord was sent by the Father, and if our Lord then sends his apostles as he was sent by the Father, it's our Lord who says so, the implication is that the apostles have all power over kingdoms and over nations, and it's quite true. You see, even Freemasonic presidents, obliged, perhaps it's by nothing other than the number of Catholic votes in the nation, obliged to consort with Catholic cardinals. Bless those cardinals if they tell Jeremiah's truth to those presidents. Alas, one may fear that quite often the presidents choose a cardinal who will not tell them the truth of God. The ordinance, it's to the degree that we carry the words of God, that we carry his power. You and I are not, heaven forbid, interested in political power. My kingdom is not of this world, said our Lord. Nevertheless, our Lord's, the word of God, will govern kingdoms, not directly but indirectly, if the priests are faithful. If the priests are unfaithful, they are like salt, fit only to be thrown out and trampled upon, says our Lord. But if they are faithful, they have a power over kingdoms and over nations. That's not what it looks like today. Today it looks as though Mother Church is, so to speak, in the gutter. It looks as though she's powerless, she's trampled upon, she's just like our Lord on the way of the cross. But the strength is still there, the will of God for the Catholic Church to be what she should be and to give her light to the nations. The will of God is always that the nations and the kingdoms should accept this light and submit to the will of God coming through his priests, bishops, cardinals, popes. That's what must come back. On the other side of a chastisement, surely, foreseeably, God knows what will come back. There may be the situation when Mother Church is again triumphant, may for a number of us, including priests, especially priests, perhaps, be a greater temptation than now while the church is suffering. While the church is suffering, while we all of us have to fight for our faith, when we're not in a position of triumph, it may be doing our faith more good. And that, of course, is one reason why the Lord God is allowing this trial to forge on the anvil, like on an anvil, by hammer blows, to forge Catholics between a rock and a hard place, between the steel anvil and the steel hammer. It hurts in between the anvil and the hammer. But that's where the servants of God, the men of God, the women of God are forged. And that's where the world is saved. You will be victims, de ordinans, but you will also be the successors of our Lord as Savior. The Catholic Church is the light of the world, of course, and the salt of the earth. The salt that preserves from corruption, the light that chases away darkness. Without the Catholic Church, darkness and corruption is what we see all around us. And there is no other solution, there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other church than the Roman Catholic Church, and there's no other form, true form of that Catholic Church than in its various manifestations, what we call tradition. The new church is false. And so, take great courage, dear ordinands, because you have the strength of God with you and behind you to the extent that you and I are faithful. And precisely through your suffering, exactly like our Lord, each of us in our own little way, he has had since his incarnation how many hundreds of thousands of priests, millions, I don't know, God knows. But through each of these priests, through each of us in our own little way, he works his divine will. And it's through our sufferings that he works the salvation of the world, like through our Lord. By suffering, we conquer. Jeremiah had to suffer. He was at one stage thrown down a filthy well and abandoned in order to rot at the bottom of that well. Friends pulled him out. But he is one of the, from the Old Testament, he is one of the types of our Lord, precisely in his sufferings. And today's Mass, today's epistle evokes his great figure, Cardinal Mincenti said, Jeremiah is the prophet of our day. And so it's a glorious, a daunting and glorious prospect that lies ahead of you. But be assured, dear Ordnans, as you, I think you can tell by the colleagues that come here each year, the priest is, if he's faithful, a happy man. I don't think if you were to take any other profession or class of men, you would find such generalized happiness. That is, of course, if the priest lives his priesthood, if the priest doesn't make his priesthood something on the side, if he doesn't split his life in two so that there's a secular half where he enjoys himself and has some comfort and relaxation, or whatever it may be, or goes in for his own personal pursuits, and then separate like that, separate as Monday and Saturday might be separate from Sunday, or Monday to Friday separate from the weekend, then on the weekend he's a priest. Heaven forbid. We are a priest by the ordination in the marrow of our bones. There is a character stamped by the ordination, by the laying on of hands and the pronouncing of the words of the sacrament. There is a character stamped on our souls, which is stamped on the essence of our souls, the essence being right, going the soul going right through the body, the soul informing the whole of the body. It's logical that the priest is a priest in every part of himself, including then in the marrow of his bones. Woe unto him if he, like, divides apart so that there's the human being and then the priest. No, our Lord, the priesthood harnesses the man himself. And woe unto the man if he slips out from under the harness or tries to. Give yourselves, dear Ordnans, to God. Give yourselves generously, because God is never outdone in generosity. And the more generously you give yourself to him, the more generously he will enrich your priesthood with spiritual graces, often with sufferings. But that's where often the grace is. Mysteriously, but that's how it was very clearly with our Lord. There's no reason why it should be different with ourselves. And if those sufferings and difficulties seem sometimes too great, of course, turn to the Mother of God. It is, all graces come through her, the mediatrix of all graces. The priesthood is a huge grace. The priesthood comes through Mary, the Mother of Priests. She asks her son for priests. She, many people are praying rosaries, which all go through her. Many, many people are begging her for priests. And she goes to her son and asks for priests. And he, of course, wants to give her everything that she wants. And she wants to protect the priests that there are. Not only she asks for vocations, but she will also ask, as she needs to ask, for the protection of the priests that there are already. It's she who will then look after all of her priests. It's she who is in a special way the mother of those who continue her own son as priests. And so, dear Ordnans, have a great devotion to the Mother of God and stay by her, stay close to her, keep under her mantle for the rest of your lives. She is the surest and safest bond to our Lord. Any of us who would turn her away run the grave risk of turning our Lord away. We will all of us pray for you during Mass today, for the priests and the deacons who will be in the same position next year, please God. We will pray for all of you that you become humanly weak, it doesn't matter. But spiritually great, like Jeremiah, if necessary, by your sufferings, spiritually great servants of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.